Good afternoon, everyone. The idea of this talk really came to me a few months after having a productive coffee conversation here at the Tri-Societies last year. It really struck me that maybe, you know, just having a conversation about what's happening with soybeans and certainly Western Canada where I'm working is maybe of interest to this community here. And so I'm here today, like this picture that you see, to share a special viewpoint that I think I hold because of, you know, the timing of the beginning of my career at the University of Manitoba. Just like in this picture, we can sort of see the many different people working on this particular soybean experiment, and I wanted to share that point of view with you this morning. So the first thing that I want to start with is just by, you know, maybe showing you some numbers on this concept that, yes, something's going on in Canada. And so this image here, or this figure from Statistics Canada, which is from their much anticipated 2016 census of agriculture, really clearly shows that, you know, soybeans are, production is expanding in Canada, and that red bar, which represents the province of Manitoba, is really where a lot of that growth is happening, and that happens to be where I'm living and working on soybeans right now. And so the gray bar on the top there also represents an interesting area. A lot of the acres in that gray bar up at the top are probably associated with southeastern Saskatchewan, and a lot of seed companies in Canada right now are predicting expansion of soybeans across Western Canada. And so it'll be very interesting when the next census comes around to see what's happening in that gray bar. So Cool Bean, where are we going? At the end of Cool Bean, when I read it to my five-year-old, he talks about going around the world. And coming back to this title of being on a honeymoon, I don't think that Cool Bean thought that they were off to Manitoba. And so where are soybeans being grown in Manitoba? We have a nice figure here. I'll try to get this arrow to cooperate. So, you know, looking back into the 1970s, you could see soybeans being grown in south central Manitoba, but starting about 10 years ago, that soybean production area began to move a little bit further north into the rest of south central Manitoba, and then recently in the last 5 years, we've seen major expansion in all directions, first to the east and now westward towards Brandon and up into Dauphin. So soybeans you can find throughout all of Manitoba, and as I mentioned earlier, there's great predictions about the expansion of soybeans moving here to these other maps across Western Canada. If we look at this map of growing degree days, you can see that, you know, there are many bands of similar colors for growing degree days across Western Canada in this orange area across much of Saskatchewan and into Alberta. However, if we look at the map at the bottom, which might be a bigger constraint, is looking at moisture in Western Canada. And so soybeans are a crop that need water in August in particular, and so that is a time when we can have great moisture deficit across much of Western Canada, and I think that is going to be one of our biggest constraints to expansion of soybeans, and it'll be interesting to see which patterns soybeans end up following as they are tried out across Western Canada in the next 5 years. So with this expansion, we've seen competition for acres in Western Canada. So here is a graph of cropping system or crop trends in my province of Manitoba from 1980 to 2016. And so we can see here this big upward red trend here of increasing, actually the doubling of soybean acres in Manitoba over the last 5 years. It's really quite a dramatic shift, especially if we compare it to our last Cinderella crop, this orange line here for canola. So we can see that canola also had a very large rise as it had a good fit in Western Canada. And I think that the coupling of canola acres and decrease in fallow, we see that, you know, we've had a long and sustained trend towards decreasing cereal acres in Western Canada, which wasn't necessarily a bad thing in terms of bringing more diversity to our crop rotation. And I think as we see these three lines for wheat, canola and soybean converging in this graph, there's also optimism now for how these new crops, or this new crop of soybean, can help balance and hopefully make our rotations in Western Canada more sustainable, where I would say for the last 5 to 10 years, we've really been seeing high frequencies of wheat and canola in rotation. So I'm really optimistic as an agronomist on what this might mean for Western Canada. It'll be interesting to see many seed companies are talking about corn in Western Canada as well. It'll be very interesting to see in the next 5 to 10 years what this green line here at the bottom of corn is going to do in Western Canada and whether that is going to be a help or a hindrance to our crop diversity as well. So crop rotation is something that's unique about how we're growing soybeans in Western Canada. It's something that I've been focusing on in my research. In terms of how we're growing soybeans in Manitoba, well, I think some of these statistics really speak for themselves. We're really growing soybeans in a short growing season, so 105 to 130 frost-free days, very low amounts of precipitation relative to other soybean growing areas, but in terms of Western Canada, this is about as the best rainfall as you could hope for. So, you know, 350 to 450 millimeters of annual precipitation, but probably something which I would be stressing again and again is when that rain is coming. So most of our rain is following as snow during wintertime. And then in terms of the distribution of rainfall within the growing season, the amount of precipitation that we're able to attract or we're able to receive in August is very variable. And that is something that I think is going to be has worked out very well for us over this last 5-year period where we've had lots of expansion, but it will be important for whether this trend continues over the long period of time. So our soybean yields are lower as you might expect because of those factors that I just described. We're growing definitely 00 and 00 maturity groups of soybeans, and they're predominantly Roundup ready. So far we've had a lot of Roundup Ready soybeans. We do have Liberty Link soybeans that are available to farmers. And it'll be interesting to see with the frequency of Roundup Ready crops in our rotation, whether that's a trend that begins to shift as we're dealing with things like herbicide resistance or managing our number one weed in soybeans, which is Volunteer Canola, which is Roundup Ready as well. So because we're growing soybeans with other small seeded crops, most of our soybeans are also on narrow seeded rows. They're planted with air seeders. So moisture content of seed is really critical. That is something that farmers are talking about with their seed dealers when they're buying their seed in the springtime. And as I mentioned, the crops that we're growing within rotation are very important, or are different in terms of the frequency of spring wheat and canola. Generally, we would say that in Manitoba, we're growing crops in conventionally tilled systems in eastern part of the province and under zero-till conditions in the western part of the province. But this is actually a topic that I want to spend some time unpacking for you this morning because this is an area where I see some concern for the future of soybeans. But maybe these concerns are short-lived in terms of the adaptation of the crop to our growing season, and maybe some of those issues will be resolved in time. So these last two bullet points are something I want to share with you in a bit more detail now. So thinking about soybeans and rotation, where are soybeans fitting into rotations in Manitoba right now? This is some data collected from the survey by our crop insurance organization, and so we can see that more than half of the soybeans planted follow cereals in rotation, and just under half follow either soybeans themselves or canola in rotation. And so in terms of the honeymoon factor, I think we definitely see that in the high proportion of soybeans following soybeans in the rotation. When you love something, you love something. But this has issues in terms of whether we can sustain that kind of production or those rotations into the future. There are also potential consequences here with canola as well, and many of the root pathogens and other pathogens like Sclerotinia common to both of those crops. And so I think rotation going forward will be an important issue for us. One of the first things that I started My very first research grant was to look at sequencing of soybeans with these diverse crops that we grow. And when I started the study, I was really interested in the interaction between canola as a preceding crop with soybeans. Knowing that soybean is a mycorrhizal crop, canola is non-mycorrhizal, I was really looking for, you know, some potential damaging or limiting effects. But, you know, just because that was my first hypothesis, that definitely did not come out very much in this study. And we did not see very consistent or large yield differences between each of these different crops in rotation. And so I think that's optimistic that soybeans will be very flexible in rotation from purely a yield perspective. I think, you know, disease management is something that is going to be driving where soybeans fit in rotation into the future. One interesting thing that really came out of this study for me, and is something that I try and share with farmers in Western Canada, is thinking about the influence of crop rotation on the symbionts that grow with soybeans. So the mycorrhizal fungi and certainly the Brady rhizobium that help us with nitrogen fixation. And so getting farmers to start thinking about the opportunities that they have to manage these relationships with other organisms by growing this crop is something that I try and get farmers to think about with this data. So here's a graph showing you from the study where we've got two of the five site years of the study where we look at the response of nitrogen fixation to the carbon to nitrogen ratio of the different crops in the rotation. So we really see that the rhizobia are responding to how those different crop residues are tying up nitrogen in the soil. So there's a really nice correlation here to share about where do we want to maximize nitrogen fixation if we're talking about maximizing resource use efficiency in our entire crop rotation. Another example of how we can, you know, look at crop rotation to try and maximize relationships with mycorrhizal fungi is in this figure here. We're looking at colonization of early season V3 soybean plants with AMF fungi. So we can really see that where we had other crops that are good hosts for AMF, we have good colonization of those early soybean roots. But where we had, you know, an intermediate host or a non-host of canola, we had poor colonization. This is data that's averaged over the whole study of five site years. But, you know, as important as this early season performance is of soybeans, in the end, in my study, these strong trends of mycorrhizal fungi associations did not translate into large yield improvements. And so it suggests to me that in our growing environment, you know, we have much larger factors that are constraining yields in Western Canada. And precipitation and season are probably still amongst the most important factors that we have to consider. So let me get to the second topic that I really wanted to share with you this morning. And I'm a person who thinks a lot about soil, and so I feel like this is an area where I'm very passionate in my research, and that is looking at the interaction between how soybeans are adapting to Western Canada and how that's interacting with our tillage practices. So I find it, I think it's very clear that farmers are thinking and using tillage to try and extend their growing season for soybeans right now because they're concerned about maturing. We see that especially as soybeans are moving into Western Manitoba, which is our predominantly no-till area. So we're seeing, you know, farmers who have espoused and been practicing no-till start to use either strategic tillage before soybeans or abandon no-till. And you might say, well, you know, my farmers in my growing area are either, you know, passionate about no-till, and why would farmers in Western Canada start to change their tillage practices just because a new crop arrives on the scene? And I think this is also coupled with the fact that we've had a decade of very wet weather in Western Canada, which is also part and parcel with why I think we've seen such rapid adoption of soybeans in Manitoba in the last 5 years, especially because soybean has been a crop that's done really well under wet conditions compared to our other crops in rotation. So I think those two factors are kind of tied together. In addition, we can heap on top of this more residue. We have higher yielding crops with more residue, and those factors have been interacting with farmers' decisions about tillage. So where we have more residue from crops like wheat, and as corn becomes increasingly common in rotation as well. But we also have the flip side of that, where we have soybeans as a low residue crop, and where farmers are concerned about not having residue before their soybeans. We're also seeing a lot of erosion in the early spring after snow melts, so in late March, April, potentially depending upon when the thaw comes, where we see a lot of snert snow, black snow in the ditches, and farmers that are truly concerned about erosion. This can be exacerbated as well by the practice that we see of land rolling to also aid with harvest. And an additional factor to heap onto all of this is that a lot of farmers who are growing soybeans early in the adoption of soybeans view soybean residue itself as tough and impermeable. And I'd love for some of you in the audience to talk to me about, you know, what the characteristics of soybean residue really are, and why farmers may view it this way. Because my experience with soybeans is that, you know, they're a crop that that you can direct seed very successfully many crops into. So something that we're still working with, and I have some experiments underway to look at. So soybean by tillage, I think, is one of the areas where we are struggling in Western Canada, and where we might be going through some short-term growing pains until we have more adapted varieties. 1 minute, okay. So I'm going to skip ahead here and say, will the honeymoon continue in Western Canada? And I think that if is going to depend on several things. So one is for watching for emerging pests. Obviously, we're in this honeymoon phase where soybeans can do no wrong. They have few pests in Western Canada right now. We're certainly watching for some of the major ones that you are working with and dealing with every year. my prediction is really we will see that the honeymoon will continue if we are able to maintain diversity. If we're able to have rain in August in Western Canada, and if these plant breeding advances continue and hopefully allow us to deal with both the first bullet points in terms of having soybeans that are maybe more well adapted to drought, and having soybeans that that are competitive with whatever the other profit advantages are for the other crops in our rotation. So with that, thank you to the many who are supporting research on soybeans in Western Canada, for the students and technical support. And also I wanted to say thank you to this community. At a time when I was a new soybean researcher and where I have many students looking for a community of researchers to interact with, you have been a very active and supportive community. So thank you for living up to what I think the ASA was trying to achieve in shifting to this community model. So thank you very much. Thank you.